And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, quite a journey that we've been on here together as we have followed the historical events of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, coming in the flesh into the world. And as we have one more Sunday today, to see this beautiful manger scene. I always hate to see that go. It's etched in my mind throughout the year, but it is so telling of the events that we have heard of again and are reminded of and continue to celebrate as God's precious people. And so this morning we hear of an event that happens 40 days later, after Jesus had been born. And, of course, Mary and Joseph, Jesus still in Bethlehem, still here in this remote little community, and yet they're going to make a journey, and they make it on that 40th day by the law of Moses, and they go in to Jerusalem. They go to the temple, and it's the first time that Jesus enters the temple, 40 days old. What is that? About a month and a half old as a little infant child. Now, we hear in one verse prior to this, in verse 21 of chapter 2, that Jesus was circumcised. And Joseph did that. And so by God's law, Jesus born under the law, born under his own law, because he is truly God in the flesh, is fulfilling everything that the law demands. And so we think about Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to the temple on this 40th day, and it's a twofold purpose. One is to dedicate this firstborn, which is by the law of Moses. And of course, that occurs because, remember, when God delivered his people out of slavery, out of bondage in Egypt, all the firstborn of Egypt died, right? And it was through that horrifying event that Pharaoh finally submitted to God, to letting God's people go. And as a result of that event, of course, we know the great Passover event, the angel of death passes over all the houses of God's people because they have what? The blood of the Lamb, right? The blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. So it's the blood of the Lamb that saves them from their own firstborn dying as well. And so from that time on, so that God's people would never forget, they were to offer their firstborn to God, to dedicate them to God. And so that is part of the purpose for Mary and Joseph going to the temple. And the other is for Mary's own purification. Now, what's interesting is there are two offerings that are involved. Generally, it's a lamb that is expected to be brought as a burnt offering, and then either a pigeon or a turtle dove. Now, we learn something interesting about Mary and Joseph here, because if you were extremely poor, then you didn't have to bring a lamb. You couldn't afford it. And so you could bring either two pigeons or two turtle doves. And in this account, as Luke has recorded it, as God has preserved it for us, they just bring the pigeons or the turtle doves. And so it's very telling that Mary and Joseph are extremely poor people as a young couple. And so they abide by God's will. Now think about them, what they have been through. Mary experienced the angel Gabriel, and the angel Gabriel had revealed to her, a virgin, that she would be pregnant with child, and that this child would be called Holy, the Son of God. What a revelation from the angel Gabriel. And then, of course, Joseph, ready to put his wife away because here she is pregnant, and he knew he didn't have any part of that. They weren't even married yet. And he was going to quietly put her away. But remember, the angel appears to Joseph. And then the angel quotes the prophet Isaiah and reveals to Joseph that this is the one born of a virgin. This is Emmanuel, God with us. So Mary and Joseph getting these individual announcements from heaven. But then what happens? The shepherds come to them as well, right? And the shepherds had heard that incredible announcement from heaven through the angel outside of Bethlehem, out in the fields at night, that this one to be born is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And so they are able to then go to Bethlehem and share with Mary and Joseph the incredible revelation that was given to them. Quite a journey, isn't it? And then, of course, we see the Magi displayed up here, which they don't show up until about 2 years after Jesus was born. And so that happens after the event that we hear of in Scripture this morning. But why did the Magi come? But God led them, right, by the star. And we learned something new through them concerning this Christ child, that he is a king. In fact, he is the king of the Jews. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. They come to show honor and homage to him. And Mary and Joseph experienced that great event as well. And so we go to the temple and think about Jesus' journey to the temple. You know, as his ministry goes on and his public ministry, was the temple friendly to Jesus? Was Jerusalem friendly to Jesus? No, it was one of the most dangerous places he could go. In fact, remember when Lazarus died? And Jesus intentionally waited 4 days before he went to Bethany just outside of Jerusalem. And he knew that he was going to perform a miracle bringing Lazarus back to life. But remember Thomas? Jesus said that we're going to Jerusalem. And remember Thomas's statement? And the doubting Thomas now, not here though, Thomas says, well, we'll go and we'll die with you. Which they knew how dangerous Jerusalem was for Jesus. Isn't that ironic? The temple representing God's presence among his people. And now we have Emmanuel, the very Son of God, with us. And the temple leaders, for the most part, reject him and even threaten his life. But not when Jesus was 40 days old. So the first time from that humble little town of Bethlehem, Jesus enters the temple. Have you ever thought about this, that Mary and Joseph couldn't afford a lamb? But unbeknownst to them at the time, they were bringing the lamb with them. Remember John the Baptist early in Jesus' ministry? He saw Jesus in the crowd and he said, oh, look! Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here, even though Mary and Joseph couldn't afford the Lamb was with them. And they brought the ultimate offering to the temple in this infant son. Well, then we think about Jesus himself. Wow, little babe born in Bethlehem, coming to the temple, and Simeon is excited because the Lord had revealed to Simeon, we hear he's a righteous man, he has the Spirit, he is a man of faith, he's one of the priests most likely serving at the temple, and God has revealed to Simeon that before he dies with his own eyes, he will see the consolation of Israel. And the consolation of Israel is the Messiah, the promised Messiah who is to come. Now put yourself in Simeon's place. I mean, a lot of people must have looked upon him, if they knew, as being a fool. Here comes this impoverished couple with this little baby, infant child, and Simeon's all excited. Here he is. Here is the Messiah. Can you imagine the reaction there must have been if people were around Simeon at the time? Really, Simeon, what were you drinking last night? But like you and me, Simeon also, it's only by God intervening in our lives that we can believe. Think of Peter. Remember, Jesus asked, well, who do people say that I am? And the disciples were sharing with him all the theories out there about who Jesus was and is. And then Jesus looks his disciples right in the eye and says, but who do you say that I am? And remember Peter's response? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then remember Jesus' response to Peter? Says, Peter, you know, you couldn't have learned that from any man, but that was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And so it was for Simeon. It was only by God's intervention in Simeon's life that he came to understand and to know and to look forward to this incredible event when the very Messiah that had been promised from centuries past would be in his presence, and Simeon would get to hold the Messiah, his Savior, in his arms. And so he does. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. Simeon is excited. Simeon is praising God for God's revelation to him and the fulfillment of his promise to him that before he died, he would be blessed to see with his own eyes the Messiah. Well, we recognize these words, don't we? We sing them in our liturgy, the Nunc Dimittis, and we're going to sing that after communion this morning. I want you to think about those words as we always do, but especially today in light of this text, because that it's Latin, Nunc Dimittis, and it just simply means dismiss us. And so we can say with Simeon these same words, and how beautiful that we can sing them because we too have seen the Lord. Not with our physical eyes, but through the eyes of faith. However, this morning we're going to receive the Lord's body and blood, right? We're going to see the bread and wine with our own eyes. And we know by Jesus' promise, in, with, and under the bread and wine is his presence with us in a very special sacramental way. And Jesus is taken in. He is consumed by you and me through the Lord's Supper. By the way, what does the Lord refer to us as? His temple, right? He now dwells within us. It's not something you and I could have purchased through an offering by buying a lamb and bringing it somehow. There's nothing we could have done. In fact, we wouldn't even believe if God, like with Peter, like with Mary and Joseph, like with Simeon, hadn't intervened and come into their lives and changed their lives forever. For you and I, for most of us here, it was probably through baptism. And maybe when we were just little babies. Can't even remember the day, but hopefully we know the date. And on that day, the Lord, by his grace, called us. Or it may have been later, hearing his word. But the Holy Spirit, working through those means, has changed our hearts. Many today would say, oh yeah, you Christians, you get all excited about this event. But how foolish. You really believe in that stuff? Yeah. And we believe it so much that we have peace. God's gift of peace. That with Simeon, and by the way, Just a couple days ago, I was with Judith Nashland. And Earl, Judith sat kind of over in your area at the late service every Sunday. And Judith passed away this past week. And I was blessed to be there with her and to share God's word, to pray as her son, as her daughter and son-in-law were there with me. And we got to watch Judith leave life on this earth and enter life into glory. And guess what? She was at peace. And we too are at peace. And we can say with Simeon, my eyes have seen your salvation. I mean, look at this picture. Because we know the Lamb of God made that journey to the cross. We know that Jesus died and rose again, and we know that he lives. And we can celebrate in the salvation that is in our possession. We don't know what the year 2018 will bring in detail and in all of its circumstances, but what we do know is we can enter it in peace, and that peace isn't going to leave us, and we know the Lord is going to be with us. What else do we really need to know? Praise God for the gift of his Son. Praise Jesus for placing himself under his own law and fulfilling it. So that you and I, even though we still stumble into sin, that we are forgiven. And we can say with Simeon, dismiss your servant in peace. Think about it. This morning we have been absolved of our sins. God has fed us with his precious word. In a moment, we're going to be fed with his very body and blood to affirm to us. It's like God signing on the check with his blood. Yes, this is genuine. This is authentic. It's done. No questions. And we too can say, Lord, dismiss us now in peace. If today, if we don't make it to 2018, hey, that'd be fine with me. I think it'd be cool to celebrate 2018 in heaven. But you know, only the Lord knows. And we just simply continue to follow him. Knowing, as Simeon proclaims, that this salvation is for all people. What good news. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we enter into this new year, may we make the greatest effort, because it's really the only reason God's giving us a new year, is for the sake of the lost. May we use every opportunity he provides to bring his truth to those who yet do not know or have rejected it. May the peace of our loving God be with you this day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.